All right. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Take your Bibles. Find two places. Stick a card in one. We'll flip back and forth for a few minutes, and then we'll look throughout some other places in the Bible. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. We'll put those in the right order. I guess we'll read Ephesians first. It doesn't really matter. We'll read them in order. Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, for anybody that has studied music through the Bible, you know these two verses. They're very important. And so we're going to look at some things this morning. It's not really a lesson on music. I do like music. I don't sing very well, but I like music. Most everybody in my family's musical. Even my in-laws, most everybody in their family's musical. And my, I almost said my real family, like they're not real family, but y'all know what I mean. My biological family, there we go, yeah. They're all musical. I dabble with instruments, but I don't sing a lick. So, I don't know. Music may have skipped me in a generation, but I do have an ear for it. But music affects everyone, whether you recognize it or not. Music is a universal topic. It has a universal language in many ways. And so today, we're going to focus this morning in Sunday school on one particular aspect of music, or music that we have here in our church. And we're going to focus on why do we sing the hymns? What's so in particular about the hymns? And in these two verses that we're going to read in our Bibles this morning, you see the word hymn spoken there. Now, those red books that you were just singing out of, they have the word hymn on the outside of them, right? What is the title of those? Great Hymns of the Faith? Is that the one we sing out of? All right, you got to remember, growing up in another church, we had two different hymn books. We had to have two because one had songs in it that everybody liked, and then another one had a bunch of other songs in it that everybody else liked. And so we had to split them up. So Sunday morning we used one hymnal, and Sunday night we used a different hymnal. So lots of hymn book names out there, and there's nothing wrong with one hymnal versus the other, I guess. Some have different songs in them. Well, one we had shape notes in it. And if you don't know what shape notes are, I don't know. Get with Bobby. He'll teach you what they are. But it's a different form of singing. It's that fa, sol, la singing that they used to do in the old days. And they actually sang the notes. That's how they taught people to sing, was with the shape notes. And so we had one hymnal with that. We had one hymnal that didn't. We had one hymnal that had real small writing, so all the older folks complained that the letters were too small. So, there's lots of differences in the hymn book. But we're going to look at the hymns this morning, and why do we sing the hymns. So let's read a couple of verses, then we'll have a word of prayer. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number... Let's back up. Let's get our context for both of these. Verse 17, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Now, how many of you have ever heard it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer yourself? I heard that all my life. I'll be honest with you, I like to answer myself. That's some of the best conversations I have all day, is when I talk and when I answer. I get a lot accomplished during those times. Somebody say, "Well, you're crazy." Well, yeah, maybe so. But here, now, in this verse, we're actually giving what you're to speak to yourself in. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's read our verse in Colossians that we also had on the other hand. Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Lord, we thank you for the time. Lord God, we thank you for Sunday once again. We ask that you would help us this morning here in our study of your word. Help us have some insight, Lord God, not only just in what we sing and why we sing it, but Lord, also in the grace that is found within your word and how it works in our lives. Lord, we do also pray for our Sunday school classes next door, all the kids, Lord God, that are here trying to learn something from your word. Pray that you'd give those teachers the right things to say. Encourage them, Lord God, through the lessons today as well as the children. Lord, for the college and career and the modulars of the back, Lord, we do pray that you might once again speak to their hearts and help them, Lord God, as well. We ask, Lord God, that you be with Brother Welder as he is traveling, Lord, in the Ukraine. We do pray that you bless the work that's being done there, the preaching that's already been done this morning and the things that will be done maybe this evening there as they're ahead of us in time. But we do pray for that trip and that you might accomplish those purposes that you have there. We also ask that you get have good travel and mercy for getting him home safely. We ask now that the rest of this day would be pleasing in your sight and that you would bless the services here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now, according to these two verses, we have, you might could break it out a little more different ways, I don't know. For you this morning, we see that there are three main kind of songs that we are to sing, right? Psalms. Now, what are Psalms? That's the easy one, right? You've got 150 of them in your Bible. There's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. Now, you say, oh, those are for reading. Those are not for singing. Well, there are a lot of musicians that I have heard, some of them I know personally, that will take a psalm and set it to music and actually sing what is written in the book of Psalms. And most of the time, it's very beautiful. So those things can be sung as well as read. Now, those are the easy ones, right? Those are the Psalms. Now, what about the hymns? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, so we don't spend much time there. Now, the big controversy would come from what is a spiritual song. That's where we get kind of all off today in left field. That's why there's all kind of different forms of what's called Christian music, where it may or may very well not be very Christian, you know. It's kind of like, modern day music is Christian rock. I'm sorry, there's no such thing. That's an oxymoron. You can't have Christian and rock in the same field. It doesn't work, you know. So there's lots of different forms, but the Bible gives us here today three types of music that we should be concerned with. Now, in today's lesson, we're looking at the hymns. But either way, what is the point of these three types of songs that the Bible gives? And it felt the need to repeat it twice for us, once in Ephesians, once in Colossians, so it must be important. Now, in these verses, look at Ephesians first. I'm going to give you some quick reasons here because this is not really the main part of the lesson, but I do want to show you these things. What are the purpose of these three types of songs? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What are they to do in your life? Well, number one, notice there in verse number 18. You see, you got to remember the Bible's always, verses are always in a context. Now, we love to pull them out, and sometimes it really benefits us, you know. There's some verses that we pull out of context, and they really do benefit us. But, you got to be careful with that, because everything that's written is written in a context, and that context is always very important. Now, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Now, I think it's important that those two verses follow one another or put side to side or in the same context in the Scriptures. You say, why? Because there's a lot of drinking that goes along with singing. Right? I never have been one to frequent the bars. Maybe you were in your past life. I'm not criticizing that. But are there any bars where there's no music? I mean, there might be a few, but usually there's some kind of music, right? Whether it's the main attraction, or whether it's a sideline, or whether it's just a jukebox or a karaoke, and that's even worse. I mean, who wants to hear strangers sing, let alone drunk strangers sing? but it's still, there's always music involved, right? You say, why? Because music, one of the main things that it will affect, it affects your soul. And that's why, you know, when you feel down or when you're depressed, you want to hear depressing songs, right? I mean, there's a reason they sang about a tear in my beer, right? Way back there, you know, the old country music. I mean, you know, if I had to listen to some of those guys sing, there'd probably be a tear in whatever I was drinking at the same time. But, you know, there's music associated with that. Now, but we are told to be what? But be filled with the Spirit. Now, as a saved, born-again child of God, we are supposed to have and we are supposed to lead a Spirit-filled life, right? You know, one of the first ways it's going to help you with that is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, but you got to sing the right thing. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It is very difficult to have a Spirit-filled life without the right kind of music. You say, why? Because music, it's everywhere. You know, I mean, you can't go in anywhere that usually there's not music playing. Now, Bobby made an astute observation one time. We were in the men's Bible study, and of course, Bobby's our song leader, and he's dealt with music and musical things most of his life, but he said, you know, Satan is the anointed cherub that covereth, and we're not studying all that this morning, but he is, and the Bible says over there in Ezekiel that he had pipes and tabrets built within him, right? So he was a heavenly choir conductor. If you read Job and you put that with Satan there, in his original position as Lucifer. But, you know, Bobby said, you know, his original position was to cover the throne, the anointed cherub that covereth. But now he has the entire world covered with some form of music. And that's a good observation, because you go in the mall, there's some kind of background music usually. You go in a store, there's something playing. You go in a restaurant, they have music playing, right? I mean, nowadays, especially with iPhones and all the wireless headphones, you know, I mean, you can't go anywhere that people don't have headphones in their ears. Boy, I mean, that drives me nuts to go in a store and be dealing with somebody and an employee has one headphone in and one out. I mean, that drives me nuts. That drives me nuts with anybody, really, you know. I mean, if I'm talking to you, pull both of them out. You say, yeah, but I'm not listening to anything. Yeah, but I don't know that. You know, I want to know that I have undivided attention if I'm dealing with somebody. But this generation today, they can't do anything without something in their ear or in their hand. You know, I mean, the Bible says, hey, you know, I mean, keep the gates of your body, is talked about, you know, the eyes and the ears, all those things, but that's a different lesson. So, but notice here, so if we're going to be Spirit-filled life, you're going to have some good music. Why? If nothing else, to counteract the bad that you hear even when you don't want to. Now, I realize people are different. You know, for some people, music is, it's not important. I mean, there's some people that could listen to music or not listen to music. There's some people that can listen to music and it doesn't have quite the effect on them. But nonetheless, even you say it doesn't affect my soul or my spirit, it still affects your mind because you get those lyrics in your head. And it's amazing how many of you can remember songs and not Bible verses, right? I mean, the lyrics to songs are just easy. They're there, right? I mean, they come back to us whether we want them or not. But then Bible verses, boy, they're hard, aren't they? You know why? It's because you're not speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the first purpose, is to have a Spirit-filled life. Now, the second one, look back to Colossians. We're going to flip back and forth just for a minute. But in Colossians chapter number 3, and I lost Colossians, so let me find it here. I was trying to keep it on one hand, but it's kind of hard when you move. Here, there's a note up here. Yeah, that'll work real good. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 6. Now it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See? It's to get the word inside of you. So, number one, it was to help us have a Spirit-filled life. Number two, it's to help us get the word of God in our hearts. Now, why else would you sing the Psalms? I mean, the Psalms are the Word of God, right? Now, I realize there's some scriptural aspects, I mean, in the hymns, and we're going to deal with that here in a minute. But, that's the purpose. So, the more speaking to yourselves in Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs there is in your life, the easier it is to have a Spirit-filled life, the easier it is to have the Word of God dwell richly in you. So that's the second thing there. Number three, notice there in verse number 16 of Colossians chapter 3, the next point says teaching and admonishing. So number three, the third reason that we are to have these songs and these things is to teach us. You ever learn something from a hymn? I mean, it's great. I mean, you know, you take that song, At Calvary, right? That's a great hymn. And it says over there, I don't remember the exact wording, it's escaping my mind, but, in that song it says something about, would die for such a worm as I, right? Now, most people sing that, and I mean, sad to say, there's Christians that have sung that all their life and have no concept what that means. They think, oh, well, the worm just sounded good in that song. Or it fit in the lyrics, right? But no, as such a worm as I. Because there's a connection in Psalms 22. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he called himself a worm. And there's a connection there to the worm and the serpent and sin and all of those. There's a great Bible teaching that goes along. And you know what? If you're not careful, you won't never find that unless you say, what does that song mean for such a worm as I? You see? So song, I mean, teaching. Now, notice admonishing. What does it mean to admonish? The Bible says, so what are these psalms, hymns, spiritual songs given to us for? Spirit-filled life, to get the Word of God in us, to teach us, to admonish. Now, to admonish, I looked it up in the dictionary this morning. Admonishing means reproving, warning, counseling, directing. It's amazing. Now, how many of your, you know, so-called worldly music, you know, corrects you and warns you and admonishes you, those kind of things? But that's what the Word of God, that's what these songs are for, and that's what the Word of God shows us here. Admonishing, hymns do that. Hymns can teach, they can admonish. They're not just all about praise, and that's the sad thing of today. Don't get me wrong, hymns are about praise, but we in society today, you know, that's the sad thing. Society today has taken the music service in churches and they've turned it into praise and worship. And don't get me wrong, I believe in praising God. The Bible says we should praise. You know, how great thou art. That's a great song of praise. But at the same time, you know what? What good does it do you to praise and not know why you're praising? You see, that's where the teaching aspect comes in. I mean, I could get up here and I could sing hallelujah 18 times in a row, and that's praising, but it didn't teach me nothing. Right? I mean, you got to think about these things. Praise and worship is important, but you need the songs and the psalms and the spiritual hymns are for teaching, for admonishing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs. All right, so they're for that. Now, what else are they for? Well, notice something here. Look in Ecclesiastes. I don't know where that came from. Look in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16. What does that last part of that verse say? Singing with grace in your what? Hearts. Now, look back to Ephesians chapter number 5. And look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your hearts. You know why you need this kind of stuff? Because it affects your heart. You see, not only is it to give you a spirit-filled life, but it affects your heart. That's what music does. There's certain forms of worldly music that I'll admit to you right now. I like it. You say, why? Because it stirs something in my flesh and in my heart. Now, it probably does it not in a good way. But there's spiritual songs and hymns and Psalms, I get the other one right. And there's those things that can stir your heart as well. You see, the bottom line is, even though you're saved, you're still in the flesh. And you got to deal with that heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, right? Who can know it? Well, you better find something that can affect it the right way, because I guarantee you there's a whole lot that Satan has to affect it the wrong way. So that's what these are. That's the purpose of these things. It affects our heart. And then, of course, last but not least, notice there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing and making melody in your heart, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs should promote an environment of thanksgiving. Notice there, it's found in the next, look back over there in Colossians chapter 3. Right there in the context, in verse 16, it said, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then notice what followed, and it's joined with a conjunction. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, you ever have a question with what kind of music? Well, if you can't give thanks and glory to God for it, well, that'll solve some of the problem, right? On what kind of may be right or what may be wrong when it comes to music. So, notice there. You see these things. Now, you say, wow, that was a fast Sunday school lesson. No, that's not the lesson. But that's the verses. That's what's in the verses. That's what's there for us. Now, I want to show you, because remember I said we're going to talk about hymns. Now, let me ask you something. So, what is the purpose of hymns? Well, it's the same purpose as psalms and spiritual songs, because they're all three put in the same category, and they're all three told to do something. So, what is the purpose of them for our life? Well, to help us have a spirit-filled life, to help us get the Word of God in us, to teach us, to admonish us, to affect the heart, to give thanks. Right? That was what we looked at. We found all those things right in the context. Now, I did this study for the kids about 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. And so these were popular songs 10 years ago that are in Christian music. Now, some of you may have heard these bands, modern day Christian music. There's a band called Third Day here. I have DC Talk. That was just hilarious. Anyway, the Third Day. Now, that sounds scriptural, right? Because a lot of good things happen on the third day. You know, that's where they got the name from. Now, if you listen to this kind of music, I'm not saying, you know, you're wicked and wrong and all those things. I'm just trying to get you to see there's a difference between what God says is spiritual songs versus some non-spiritual songs. Let me give you an illustration. All right, here was a popular song by Third Day. I'm just going to read the lyrics. I'm not going to sing for you. Oh, all right. Now, the song is called Tunnel. Boy, that just stirs my heart spiritually for the Lord right there. I mean, tunnel. When I think of tunnel, I think of underground. When I think of underground, that's not where I want to go. But anyway, all right, tunnel. I won't pretend to know what you're thinking. I can't begin to know what you're going through. I won't deny the pain that you're feeling, but I'm going to try to give a little hope to you. Just remember what I've told you. There's so much you're living for. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. There's a light at the end of this tunnel for you, for you. There's a light at the end of this tunnel, shining bright at the end of this tunnel for you, for you. So keep holding on. You've got your disappointments and sorrows. You ought to share the weight of that load with me. Then you will find that the light of tomorrow brings a new life for your eyes to see. So remember what I've told you. There's so much you're living for. Boy, that taught me this morning. Did that admonish anybody? I mean, what in the world is that about? Now you say, oh, I know what it's about. It's Jesus. He's the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, why don't you say Jesus is the light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, this could be about my girlfriend or somebody's boyfriend, right? I mean, it's not admonishing. It's not teaching. I mean, where's the admonishing? Where's the teaching? Where's the getting me in the right spirit? Where's the causing thanks? You know, you see what I mean? Now, we're going to compare that to something here. Now, this one I love here. You know, since I met you.
See, the problem with most of these lyrics are you can't tell whether they're writing about their girlfriend or the Lord. Now, since I met you, was at the end of my rope, had nowhere to go. Was at the end of my rope, I had nothing to show. Until the day I turned to you was at the end. You call me crazy, man, you make my day. My state of residence was in disarray. At every party, as far as anybody knew, everything was cool. But the truth was bottled up inside of me. I was lonely as a man could be. And my 200 friends couldn't fill the void in my soul. It was a giant hole. Now, I realize that can describe a lost person. But you gotta, nothing made any sense. I thought there would never be an end. Then love came knocking at my door. Okay? Since I met you, I've been all right. You turned all my darkness into light. And since I met you, I've been okay. I've been all right. Since I met you, I've been okay. You're rolling my winter into May. Since I met you, I've been all right. I've been okay. Been okay. Boy, that's masterful writing there. I mean, we laugh. People paid millions of dollars for this. People paid hundreds of dollars to sing this, to hear or see this performed live. Think about it. You've got me feeling like $1 million, probably because I just made it. Some people write it off as Irish luck, but I know better because my rabbit's foot never did me a bit of good. The truth, it hit me like a sock in the eye, a revelation that I can't deny. Your love has overtaken every little part of me. You were what I needed. Now I'm carried away, never seen the sunshine like today. You made something out of my life. Sick and tired of the same old fluff, you took me in and shook me up. You got me tripping on a vision of eternity. I can see it clearly. I kid you not, that's lyrics from, that's DC Talk. But these are Christian lyrics. You say, does it get any better? Yeah, I got to hurry, but I can read you this one here. I better not. Let's just get back to the text. And this one's a nut. But you see, now, where's the teaching? Where's the admonishing? Now, take your Bibles, look in Colossians 3, because I want to show you something. Colossians 3, look at verse 16. Say, well, haven't we read that 100 times? Yes. Hopefully you'll memorize this verse. And not those song lyrics I just read to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what? Grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, let me ask you something. What is one of the most probably famous hymns worldwide that is sung, played, known today? Amazing Grace. Now that verse says, singing with what? Grace in your hearts. Take your hymn books. 236. We're not having an invitation, but it's part of the lesson. Take your hymn books. Now, Amazing Grace. I want you to look at the left top-hand corner. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you in here this morning, and be honest, I mean, if you want to, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, I don't like that forcing people to raise hands for anything. But how many of you have heard of Third Day? Oh, pretty good number of people. Good, good, good. How many of you knew either one of those songs I read? Okay, one. Very good. All right, how many of you heard of DC Talk? All right, yeah, all right. How many of you knew any one of the songs I read there? All right. Yeah. All right. Now, how many of you know Amazing Grace or have heard it? All right. When was Amazing Grace written? Look at the top of your page. 1725 by John Newton. That's his birthday? Oh, it sure is. Yeah, that's his birthday at the top of the page. Well, when did he die? 1807. So he wrote it still in the what? In the 1700s. Now, those songs that were written that most of you had never heard, didn't know, were songs that were written supposedly in the praise, glory, and honor of our Lord, and they were written in the 2000s. And half of you don't even know them. You say, why? Because there's something missing behind them. They were written to make money. They were written to sell. I don't think John Newton wrote Amazing Grace because he wanted to be on, well, I don't even know if there was, I don't guess there was a radio back then, was there? He was not trying to hit the Billboard top 10 or top 20 or top 100. He was not trying to be on Dick Casey's, you know, American Bandstand. You know, those kind of things, whatever. What? Casey Kasem, whatever, yeah. I'm Dick Tracy, Casey Kasem. I mixed the two together. Very good. Dick Clark, that's the other one. That's who I wanted. Dick Clark, yeah. Rocking New Year's Eve. He did not want to be on that, did he? Now, but nonetheless. All right, no, it's just I can't think while I'm. I know who Dick Clark is, but I can't think and do this at the same time. Now, but it shows you there's a great difference. Now, it says singing with grace in your hearts. Now, one of the saddest things is there are lost people that know this song. There are lost people that can sing you this song. There are lost artists that have made money recording this song and then selling it back to Christians. It's amazing. But now look at this song. I don't even have a hymn book up here. There it is. Yeah, we do. All right. Well, you know what? I don't know. I better not try to do that from memory. That could get sketchy. We're already proven. I don't know who Dick Clark is this morning. In 236, look at something here. Now, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs are what? Written for our teaching. For our admonishing, right? To give us a spirit-filled life. We saw the anti-type of that in modern-day Christian music that can't even last 10 years versus a song that's been around for 200 and probably one of the most well-known songs worldwide. Now, look at something here. So can we teach from this hymn? Yes. So our Sunday school lesson will come from this hymn. We got about 10, 15 minutes. Well, let's get to our Sunday school lesson now, right? Introduction is over. All right. Verse number one, and I mean the song this time. Not verse number one of the Bible, but verse number one of the song. What does it say? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. We got salvation in the first verse. I once was lost. You got to be lost before you're saved. Now, a lot of songs talk about saving, but how many songs, did you hear anything about being lost in those verses? Maybe in a tunnel, but not in this sense. I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Now, you know, now I realize that, well, I'm getting off track, so let's stick with the text. Verse number one, in this we have revealing grace. What does the verse say? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Now look at that second part of the stanza, the first stanza. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So in other words, somebody could not see something, and now they can, right? That's revealing, right? All right, let's look at our Bibles. Now, look in John chapter 1, verse number 17. Look at something here. John chapter 1, verse number 17. Now, some people argue and say, well, you could do this with any song that's written, not and have it last 200, 300 years. That's the difference. John chapter number 1, verse number 17. For the law was given by Moses, but what? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, the first thing that a lost person has to have revealed to them is Jesus Christ. See, until you realize that you have a need of a Savior, you will never seek a Savior. Until you realize that you are lost, you cannot be saved. And that's a message there. That's what the verse says. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. What are they seeing? That grace. Take your Bibles. Look in Titus chapter number 2. We'll look at another verse with this. So we're just teaching out of the hymn, Amazing Grace. Why? Because that's the purpose. That's why we sing these old hymns. Some of you say, oh man, these old hymns, I don't know some of them, and we sing them and it's just not exciting. Well, if you had learned the hymn and learned the Bible behind it, and if there ain't no Bible behind it, it might not be a good one to learn. I'm not saying every hymn is biblically accurate. I mean, there's a song in our hymn book, and bless your hearts, I know everybody loves it. Elvis made it famous, and why Southerners will ever sing it, I have no idea. But nonetheless, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. What is that called? The Battle Hymn of the Republic. Elvis sang that song, and Southerners fell in love with it, and now in all churches in the South, you hear that. I'm sorry, Julia Howard Ward never saw the glory of the Lord, Jesus coming in His glory, unless she saw it in the Scriptures. But you know what she wrote that song about? She wrote that song about the Northern Army defeating the South. That's what that whole song's written about. And it ain't scriptural. It says about Jesus, in the beauty of the lilies, He was born across the sea. I think He was in a manger. Do lilies grow in a manger? I don't know, but you see what I'm saying? Not every hymn is going to be spiritual or scriptural, but when it is, we can teach from it. And that's why we're what we're doing. In Titus, did I say Titus? Is that where I want? I don't even know. Yeah, that is where I want to be. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, and I'll get over there in just a minute. What does it say? Well, Timothy won't cut it. For the grace of God that what? Bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the revealing grace. First stanza of your song, Amazing Grace, is revealing grace. Number two, second stanza of your song, back to the hymn book. Kind of have to be careful with how you say verses when you're teaching out of the hymn book. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first what? Believed. There's saving grace. Now, you say, I thought the first one was saving grace. Well, not necessarily, because you got to have something revealed to you before you ever get saved. You got to have it revealed that you are what? Lost. But when you get that revealed to you, what's the next stanza? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. When you get lost, you'll get afraid. Say, why? Because when a person realizes they're lost and they stand before Almighty God as a sinner and that hell is the judgment for that, that's sobering. That's a very fearful thought. Now, modern day society has taught us that all fear is bad. And, you know, have no fear, all those things. All that. Fear is the most healthy motivator, one of the most healthy things you can have. So, you know, say why? Because a man that fears nothing loves nothing. And isn't that what we got? A society that loves nothing but themselves? So they must fear themselves. That's scary. But notice here, it taught my heart to fear. There's saving grace. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Look at Romans chapter 3. Just putting some verses of the Bible with this hymn. Now, you see, for a man to write this, he had to know a little something. He had to have experienced a little something. This is a man writing to express something that has taken place in his life that he is grateful for, and he's not writing to sell an album. He's not writing to be number one on the Christian rock pop chart. He's not writing so that he can book concerts. He's writing because something has happened inside of him and he has to express it, and that's the way he knows how to do it. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Romans 3. What does it say there in verse number 24? Grace is directly connected with your salvation. In Romans chapter 3, look at verse 24. Being justified freely by what? His grace. Justification is where God sees you as righteous even though you're a sinner. See, that ought to terrify you to death when you realize you're a sinner. Why? Because I have to pay for the sin. But when you get justified is when you don't have to pay for it. Somebody else paid for it. You don't have to bear the punishment. God justifies you. He sees you as righteous. And how is it done? By grace. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I'll go nice here. For by what? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. All right, look at verse number 3. Stanza number 3. Back to the hymn book. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's your sustaining grace. You see, you got a revealing grace. That's what shows you you're lost in the first place, which terrifies you. But that same thing that terrifies you, for grace that taught my heart to fear, grace my fears relieved. See, the grace, it's the same thing. Once it's saved, it relieves that fear. But then, guess what? Then you get to live a whole Christian life down here on this earth and put up with all this craziness. So you're going to need a whole lot of what? Grace. Over and over and over again. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 9. See, Paul wrote about this, you know. In 2 Corinthians 11, you'll see why Paul needed grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 is the verse for your text. But in chapter 11, he says, I received 40 stripes 5 times. He says, I was beaten with rods. I was once stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Journeys often, perils, robbers, all these things. Paul, you read the life of Paul. You talk about somebody needed grace. Now, what does chapter 12, verse 9 say? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what that verse is talking about. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe this far. Or I missed that up a little bit. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And then notice that last stanza there. Notice here, grace gets to speak of eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Look at Romans chapter 5. Now you see what's interesting there is, you can put a scripture directly connected to each one of those verses. In Romans chapter number 5, look at verse, where are we at? The whole context here is talking a lot about grace. But look down there in verse number... Verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's Adam. So by the obedience of one, that's Jesus, shall many be made righteous. See, now, there's that revealing of Jesus Christ, right? Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. There's the fear. The law was full of fear. Why? Because no man could keep it. But where sin abounded, what? Grace did much more abound. That hath sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, what? Reign through righteousness unto eternal life. That's what that fourth verse in that song speaks of. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You see, that's taking a hymn and teaching a whole lot of spiritual truth straight out of your hymn book. You just got to put some scriptures with it. Now, you see, when you do that, that hymn has a whole new meaning. You know why most Christians, I think, can come in and sing the hymns and just leaning, you know, on the... They ain't never leaned on the everlasting arms. They don't know what it means. You see, if you look at this song, it's a simple journey. In verse number 1, the man revealed he was lost. In verse number 2, the man gets saved. In verse number 3, he carries a whole lot of weight for a whole lot of years through a whole lot of bad times. In verse number 4, he makes it home to glory. It's the Christian life all in one song. And you see, when you start piecing those things together and you put the scripture with it, you know what? It has a meaning. That's why some folks get a little excited and like to shout a little bit when they sing some of these songs. Or like to say amen. You say, why? Because it has a meaning. Now, I'm not saying you got to do that. That don't mean you're spiritual. Don't mean you're not spiritual. Everybody's built differently. I mean, some people go to a rock concert and probably not even get out of their seat. And then there's some people that's got to jump and scream and run and act like a moron. You know, I mean, just watch the... I mean, don't watch them, but don't go to them, but you just trust me. I've seen it. But notice here. You see, this is the purpose. Teaching, admonishing. You see, when you do that and a song becomes real and the song matches the scriptures that are real in your life, and you get those two elements together, because what did it say? Let the word of God dwell richly in you and all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. When you get those things together, you won't have any trouble giving thanks unto the Lord, which is what that purpose was. Remember our purposes? Spirit-filled life, teach, admonish, get the word in you, praise, all those things. So, simple lesson this morning, taught straight out of the hymn book, compared to what the world has today. Kind of makes you wonder why Christianity's in the mess it's in. It's because they don't know nothing about the Bible. And Satan's duped them into music. They've thrown away the hymn books. Churches don't even have these anymore. Say, how in the world are they ever going to do that? Well, the Bible says psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Lord God, we thank you for the time. Thank you for the day. Help us, Lord God, to not just sing the hymns, but to really think about what they mean, to take our song book, put alongside the Bible, put some verses with these songs, apply them to our life, put a meaning to them, let them work and be effectual in our lives so that we might be able to accomplish the purposes that we saw found in those two scriptures. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.